The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. Second hour is live. Ross Dellinger a little bit later on, and we will continue mining information on where the CFP is headed, some of the other issues as well. And we will continue taking your phone calls. A lot of time here to dissect what has happened over the weekend and a look ahead. We are in May now, and that's a pretty positive sign with the world opening up and the college football season around the corner. Pretty heady times. The phone number is 855-242-7285, and let's get right to it. And Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you?
Hey there. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. If you'll allow me a minute or two, and then I'll listen to what you have to say. I want to apologize to you. I want to tell you I'm sorry for some of the times I call in, and it's almost like I almost try to hijack the narrative of where you're going, and I apologize that I have been...
Mitch, I don't know what happened. I mean, does anybody know what happened to that call? Okay, we were talking to Mitch. He was talking about something that he had said, and he disappeared. So I do hope you call back, Mitch. Certainly, I heard the click. I don't know where it came from, but we would invite you to call back and finish your thoughts, by all means. Let's get back to the calls. And check out Tim, who is in Knoxville. Hey, Tim. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I've just called in there from Knoxville, and I was just wanting your opinion. I know you've probably given it before, but I'm just curious of what it might be on Coach Heupel and what you think that, you know, some of the transfers that he's landing. You know, we just landed that linebacker coming out of Texas, which I think is going to be a big plus for our defense. And, you know, just what do you think about his strategy and how he's coaching and what he might have to work with at University of Tennessee here this first year, what he went out and got and signed and stuff like that?
Tim, I like what I've seen. I look at a coach on not the circumstances that he came in under, but what he's done and putting a staff together and getting some excitement building and putting the right team together. I'm pretty sure the offense is going to be very exciting. Don't know about the defense, but I'm not expecting the whole package the first year. Although as soon as I say that, I do expect them to be competitive. I expect this to be a totally different season than last. I think when he goes through the tee on the first Saturday of the football season, and Neyland Stadium is filled to the rafters, things are going to go better for Tennessee. I can't predict beyond what little I know, but I like what I see and hear.
Right, that's what I was thinking. You know, I wouldn't expect this much to do this year, but you know the way that he's. You know, just watching what I've seen so far, and you're right about us filling the stadium back up and just putting everything back out there on the field, and some of these transfers that he's gotten, there's a big missing link that I thought that we might need, especially on the defensive side. I think that kid, I can't remember his name, that he transferred from Texas, I think he led them in tackles last year, and, you know, I'm really excited. Of course, you know, we've struggled for years. But I think that this is a good hire. I think that he might get this program turned around. And I love the way that he's going to be passing the ball all over the field and actually utilizing the actual quarterbacks that we have, you know, push them and coach them. I think he's going to be the best coach for them.
Yeah, Mitch, Tim, I'm sorry. The problem with Pruitt is it was even when they won, the games were hard to watch. And I think he is bringing, it reminds me a little bit of the mentality of what Mullen did at Florida, under totally different circumstances, of course. But I think Josh Heupel is bringing the excitement back, and that's essential at a place like Tennessee. I do appreciate it. Okay, I think we have Mitch back, and things happen. And Mitch, are you back?
I'm back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to have you back.
I was just apologizing to you because I feel like I've at times kind of tried to hijack your show and change the narrative, and also I've used your show to discuss my private life, and I shouldn't have been doing that, and I apologize. I do promise you one thing, I never lied on your show, and I do love you to death, and I love your show and your family of listeners. But I really, Friday, I think I realized that, you know, there are times whenever I just don't need to be calling because you're going one direction with the narrative, and I'm booked to joke and change to another narrative, and I apologize.
Well, Mitch, let me say this. You don't owe anybody an apology. I happen to think your calls, even when you go off the normal narrative here, are very compelling and enlightening and helpful. And that's why I engage you, because I think your story helps other people look at themselves more clearly and coherently in the mirror. And I think that's far more important than whether we agree or disagree on Clemson football or the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I understand your thoughts, and sometimes calls just don't go well. And ultimately the person where the responsibility lies is me, because I'm sitting here and I can be distracted, and I felt like maybe I was during your call the other day.
I just want you to know that you never hurt my feelings. You never. I truly, when I say I love you as though you were part of my family, I mean it. You're that important to me. And I'm sorry. Come on, I didn't mean to do this.
Well, Mitch, listen, I talk to people all the time about what you have been through and what you have expressed, and don't ever think that it's wrong. It's not. I would tell you. I feel like I know you well enough that if you were saying something that was inappropriate, I would stop you. But you're not. You have to think about your story as a lesson for others to learn from. And what I've always admired the most about you, nobody would want to go through what you've been through. But it's what you've done afterwards that is the story of your life and the story of your conversations and contributions here. And don't forget that.
Well, and the thing is I don't want to ruin my future with just, you and I are probably never going to meet each other, but the telephone works in a magic way to talk to people you care about. And, you know, and I love the fact that people sometimes bring me up and say he's either wrong or right. Your listeners are, for 4 hours, are part of who I am. And I just really felt like I needed to apologize.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm going to tell you right now, Mitch, you're part of this show every day that you can be, and I understand. I mean, maybe I do and maybe I don't. I feel like I do. I've done this long enough to where I try to understand what's happening on the other side of this phone call. And what you need to understand is that you haven't done anything wrong. And I just want you to keep being whoever you are. I want you to be you. And this is a cliche because I've had people say it about me. But it's true in your case. You are an important person to a lot of people who don't even know you. Those voiceless who don't have an ability or the courage to speak out. And that's what you need to think about. You need to enjoy what you're doing on this program, but you also should never lose sight that your story is many of our stories. You just happen to be brave enough to let people know what you've encountered and where you are right now.
But none of that would probably be, I mean, I don't mind sharing my story with anybody, but none of that, as far as publicly the way I have on your show, would even be remotely possible if it wasn't for the kindness and the understanding that you exude. And I just don't want to ruin that.
Well, you're not going to, Mitch, and I don't want you to ever think about that again. I want you to be here every day and contribute about anything, whether you agree or disagree. Now, you take care of yourself, and we will talk to you very soon. We are heading to a break. Back with more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on a Monday afternoon, and Joe is calling next. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to comment on your talking to Kirby Smart last week, I think it was.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I appreciated you bringing up that Florida-Georgia game. In Jacksonville, I think he's finally getting the picture that not a lot of the fans in North Florida, a lot of fans in South Georgia want the game there, and he's not going to be able to call a shot until he wins the big one. Then he can decide and talk to the big folks at Georgia about moving that game.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to over-interpret something, but it just, you're right. I think he's waiting for a moment, and I think that game's in jeopardy.
And
Joe, this is just observational, having been down there 3 or 4 years for the game, but I get the whole thing with Georgia fans going down there, but to me it just seems like a Florida game. That's just a snapshot judgment, having been there a couple of times.
Yeah, it just we talked about it before, but it just promoted it then.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You might be
good to hear from you, and I do think it's I think you're also right about, you know, Kirby shooting his shot here, but you know, he's got a new athletic director. He's very popular, and you just, you know, and his former athletic director had spent a lot of time at Florida, most of his career there, even though he was a Georgia man. And you know, it's a different age. I mean, the athletic directors that are coming into being now are a younger, more aggressive type, and you know, that there's going to be bloodshed. And I don't mean that literally. I watched firsthand in the 80s in Birmingham when Pat Dye said, "You know what? We're done. We're not playing at Legion Field anymore." And it was like literally the end of the world. How could you dare do that? Even though Auburn folks were treated poorly and unfairly from a ticket standpoint. I don't mean that. I mean, they all got the same number of tickets, but there were also tickets grandfathered in, not to relitigate something from 30 years ago. And I'm not saying this is that, because it's a completely different situation. But at some point, if you and it's hard to imagine Kirby recruiting any better than he is, but if that game goes to campus, it will probably help him even more. Thank you very much for the call. And Charles is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Charles.
Hey,
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Charles, I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
I enjoy your show as always. I just have a comment about Mitch's call. I always appreciate how you respond to callers, how you treat them with dignity and respect, even sometimes when they don't deserve it. But I always look forward to hearing from Mitch. I always look forward to hearing from some of the other regular callers, like Catfish, and used to be Millie, and Bobby, and some of those callers. That's what makes your show so unique. You're not just setting us up, the callers up, to for your to be the butt of your jokes or the short of your stories or anything, but you treat everybody with dignity and just tell Mitch to keep calling. We enjoy hearing from him.
Well, Charles, I'm glad you said that because I feel I know a lot of people feel the same way, and yeah, I say this in all candor. I don't think I was. I'm not sure how I would have handled Mitch's call 5 or 10 years ago because I don't think I was as tolerant. But he told the story one day of what he had encountered, and it was frightening to me. And I almost felt guilty having a normal childhood with two great parents. Sometimes you just don't know what other people go through until you hear stories like that. And it either helps those who are going through similar stories, or it makes the rest of us appreciate what we've had and still do.
That's right. So appreciate you encouraging them, Mo.
Well, I'm glad. I think what you've said matters even more, because I think sometimes, he knows me, and maybe he doesn't hear it all as well. But a call like this, I think, is extremely important. And I just find him. I told him this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think he really appreciated what I said. There are a couple of. I'll just go ahead and I've said this once, but there are two producers in Hollywood who are currently working on a drama documentary on this program. And I made sure that they listened to some of his calls, because I thought they're trying to get deep into the core of what happens here and how it relates to college football. And I think the way he expresses himself is critical to this big tenth that we have. He's not even an SEC fan. That's not the point. The fact that he came in here and converses and cares and has shared, to me, is the story of what Mitch has brought to the table. And besides that, he's a genuinely decent person.
That's right. But again, appreciate you treating everybody with respect there, and appreciate what you do and what your staff does.
Thank you very much, Charles. I was talking to somebody today about somebody that's connected to us, and I told this person, I said, and the thing I really like about this individual is I said, considering the profession he's in, and I use that as a caveat, is that this man has great integrity, and you. In today's world, that's not a phrase you hear offered very often. And we're all in it for our, we all go down the same road. We're all trying to get ahead. We're trying to do more, make more. But sometimes, you rarely run into somebody who's deep into the tunnel that I was referring to, and I don't want to say any more. That has integrity, because so few people in certain professions do. We will take a break here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, I'm back on the program here as we continue on a Monday afternoon. Al is up next. Hey, Al, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, brother?
Hey,
I appreciate
you
taking my call.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to call on your responder for Mitch. There's several of us that's been down that road, know what he's going through, know what he has gone through. I wanted to, if you don't mind me saying something directly to him.
Please do.
He is part of the SEC family. He is part of the ESPN family. He's part of you. I learned a lot just from watching this program and how to vent some of my things that I've dealt with similar to him. I appreciate it. And, Mitch, you don't feel sorry for nothing. You got a man right there that'll talk to you. Second thing I got to say, as you sit there last week and you said something about a court, that you was in court and one of your buddies sit there or leaders or whatever was sitting there and you had to be there. And I noticed your eyebrows twitched. I said, oh, Lord, this is something I'm going to watch. I want to hear what he got to say. So I got this other question I want to ask you. I'm going to give you one chance.
Sure.
You can plead the fifth on either one of them. But I'd like to know what you was at court for. You can plead the fifth on it. The other one is, since this COVID-19 thing has gone out, that means that you've had to spend time with Miss Linda this whole year. You hadn't been traveling and all that. How is she upholding all this? Now, I'm going to hang up so I can listen.
Well, thank you very much. My wife has handled the pandemic better than anyone I know. I hear a lot of horror stories about the last year, but it's been great for us. And I'm ready to travel again. I'm ready to go back to normal life. But it really helped being with someone as strong and as smart as her. As far as the court, let me address that. I was on trial, but that's the scare headline. The not so scare headline is I worked for a newspaper, and we were sued for libel and slander, mainly libel. And defamation, and we went to court and to defend our stories. It was a series of investigative stories many, many years ago. And it was a harrowing time because I was a young reporter, and had we lost the case, I would have been unhirable, because even though sometimes the facts don't matter, you hear this, you see this in movies and on television every day. You have to prove your worth and your credibility. In this case, we went to trial. I happened to have a great boss and a great company who supported me, and it cost a lot of money. And ultimately, after a 2-week long trial, we were vindicated. The jury ruled in our favor, and it helped to launch the second phase of my career. So I joked about it because the young man who called, his father was my boss and was on trial with me. And you were not going to depend at that point in my life, a 25-year-old, know-it-all reporter, with a beard and wearing John Lennon glasses to save myself. He did save us. It was the beginning of quite a friendship that lasted until 3 weeks ago when he passed away. Thank you for the call, though. Let's continue with more and check out Nick, who is in Florida. Hey, Nick, thanks. Good afternoon. Nick, you there?
Paul, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you for the call.
Oh, great. Thank you. I didn't hear the beep.
Yeah, so it's on the flip, the brink.
Oh, no worries. I think this is the first time Nietzsche's ever going to be quoted on your show, but out of chaos comes order. And this is an open letter to Greg Sankey. Now is the time to expand the conference. You pick up a Clemson before the shine rolls off of them. You breathe life into a disgruntled Nebraska program. And then the obvious is you take Texas and Oklahoma. Now you take all the oxygen out of the room when it comes to playoff expansion. And you dominate it, and you ensure there's four or five teams in the SEC, whether there's 12 or 16 or wherever the playoffs go. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I really like it. And I'm quoted to – I'm tempted to quote Sun Tzu here, but I'm not going to, because here's the problem with everything you laid out. And, you know, Nebraska is a vulnerable team. I agree with you. And, you know, even though we can be critical of where they are and where they're going, it's still a brand name, Oklahoma, Texas. I think of those that you...
I'd love to have Nebraska in the SEC.
But of the four you've mentioned, I think, and the train may have passed, but I think the most realistic has been Oklahoma. And I believe a couple of years ago, there was at least some CIA conversation about that dark secret, where NSA, satellites couldn't pick up the conversation. But Texas is a non-starter for many, many reasons. And the biggest is, they're too arrogant. They think they're better than everyone else. They have their own television network. And, I just think, their temptation a couple of years ago to 10 years ago, I should say, to go to the Pac-12 showed more where their thinking lies. And
don't you think there's some inroads with Sark there, though, that this is a guy that's been given a second chance. They've been knocked down a couple of pegs. Isn't the time now that you go and you strike the bigger TV deal? You pull them into the fold by showing them that ROI, the return on investment.
Sure.
Of how they would contribute in the SEC. It's a, what's better, 20% of a grape or 20% of a watermelon?
Well, your point is a good one for this reason, not to get into contract law, but their agreement is with ESPN, and so is the SEC's future.
Absolutely.
That would be for the first time that is now at least something that could be dealt with. I don't think Clemson brings very much to the table for this reason.
No, they don't.
From a geographical standpoint, they don't bring a single fan. And by the way, none of that stuff is important. If you go back to 2010, 2011, 2012, why was expansion so important to the SEC? Why did they go after Missouri and Texas A&M? Because they were on the verge of building a television network that needed a footprint to be able to sell to cable and satellite. That's the least of the problems right now for the television networks, if I could speak out of school. Their issues are with direct-to-consumer, not building up a cable footprint. They already have that.
Clemson does give you eyeballs, though. As long as the shine is on them with Dabo, if they're in a game, they're getting eyeballs, right?
Nick, they're a big brand. There's no question. But I think if you looked at, and I've looked at this before, not in a while, but if you looked at the biggest brands in college football, who are they? It's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia is on that list.
Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, so
Notre Dame.
I absolutely. But it's an interesting concept, and I do think you're closer to it than maybe a couple of years ago when expansion seemed dead. I think anything is possible right now in college athletics. It is
doesn't that make Sankey a legend?
I already think he's well on his way to becoming one. But yeah, if he could, I think the issue.
Can you orchestrate that, Paul?
Here's I'll let him speak for himself. He's far more qualified. But I think right now the list of issues that he has is so serious that I don't know if he could invest the time in what you're proposing, because you know you hear it in the tone that I'm asking questions to our guests, including the next one. But college athletics right now is at a crisis point.
Like in what way?
Figuring out how to deal with the issues of name, image, and likeness and paying players. Both are coming down the track.
Don't you think the market will sort that out, right? Like the Adam Smith invisible hand. Won't the economics of that kind of play itself out?
Ultimately, if it was purely an economic play, but right now it's still a political play that and a legal play. Now, by the way, that may not be the case by July 1st, the Supreme Court
right,
case.
Right.
And
That's
what I mean. So it may be a moot point, not to get too deep into the legal weeds here. But, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible, and it would take a daring person. It's a very dangerous proposition right now, considering how all these contracts are written.
Well, I appreciate it, Paul.
But by the way, I would love to continue the conversation, though. I mean, one thing about this program that I love most is talking about things that probably will never happen, but could. And and I'm no longer when you look at the world that we're living in right now and projected to in terms of media and entertainment. It's a commodity. 15 million people watched the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Why? Because there was pent up. I mean, nobody. We weren't talking about an American pharaoh here, but people are eager. And this next year, I'll close on this and see what you think. But there is such a hunger right now to get back to normalcy that we will blow this through the roof. I mean, look at the market every day, and we haven't even gotten there yet.
Oh, there's so much liquidity.
Right.
There's nowhere for this capital to go. I live in Florida. Believe me, you can't. I live near the beach, but you can't get a hotel room. There's so much liquidity that this money has to get spent, right? And it's going to get spent on entertainment and sports.
Right. Did I read correctly that Apple had $200 billion in the bank right now? I mean, that's a lot of capital. I read that incorrectly.
I think they have more than that. No, it's actually much more than that. They have like $1 trillion. I saw at one point.
Okay. And yeah,
cash.
And right now, and people, I know that we're talking about numbers that don't apply to us common folks, but there's a lot of change out there, and I don't think anyone really knows. Yeah, I mean, this is where legends are made. You're 100% right on that. I tell you what, I don't know.
I appreciate that.
I don't know if the commissioner is in his car or watching today, but if he heard, I'm sure he's thinking that I am going to put expansion at the top of my to-do list tomorrow morning. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're coming right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we're back. Great to have you here on a Monday afternoon. Ross Dellinger, top of the hour on the latest issues facing intercollegiate athletics. Stop me if you've heard that one before. Let's check out a number of how about Ray is in Alabama. Hey, Ray, thanks.
Yes, sir, Mr. Feinbaum. I wanted to ask you a question about the name, image, likeness thing going on. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but what do you think it'll do to team chemistry in the locker room? Because when you have a three-star, and this is just an example, you got a three-star tight end getting paid I don't know, $500 to play a game, and he's looking across the room at his teammate at a four or five-star running back making $5,000 a game. Don't you think that'll cause animosity?
I do.
And I'll just hang up a list.
Yeah, no, I mean, just think it. Just, you know, think about wherever any of us work. And we're all collegial and we're all friends, and then somebody breaks the bank and gets the big raise and the big promotion, and it changes the dynamics. And you know, there's nothing more important than the chemistry of a tight group or a football or basketball program or anything for that matter. So yeah, you're right. Anybody that's ever, you know, been inside a locker room is going to understand that. You know, some guys are making a lot of money, and some guys aren't. And yeah, I mean, in the NFL, everybody gets paid, but in college football, you know, nobody gets paid, and you know, some get more attention than the other. But this is going to be a big problem, and I think a lot of careers will be hanging in the balance in terms of how they're able to deal with it. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's talk to, who we got here, Jeff in Texas. Hello, Jeff. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to thank you for sharing all the knowledge about the SEC with us. Aggies, a junior member of the conference, we've learned so much from you and your patience with all of us. Your treatment of Mitch is a perfect example of that, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jeff. But I will say this about the Aggies: we're awfully glad to have them around.
Well, we're really glad to be there, and we really learn a lot from your program, and we watch it religiously.
Thank you.
I did want to bring up a point, and your previous caller just mentioned something that was on my mind, and that's the disparity in the so-called compensation that may come to exist here when this NIL issue gets plays out. The other part of that is what happens when some of these schools decide they're going to use that NIL issue as a recruiting tool? I mean, you know, what's to keep Joe Blow from alumni from being a sponsor of?
Yeah, Jeff, I don't know. You've just asked a great question here, and you know, what's to stop somebody from using it as a recruiting tool? You know they're going to. This is college recruiting. You live in Texas. It doesn't get any more cutthroat than that. And I don't know if I've ever seen college athletics with more questions that are unanswered at the moment.
Well, I can just think. I agree with you, and I don't have any answers. But I will say this: I can think of a whole bunch of scenarios that come out of this can of worms that a lot of people haven't talked about openly.
No, and you're right. And right now, if you're whether it's A&M or Texas or Alabama, Auburn, you better be well prepared for this. And I think most of them are going to be, because it is going to happen, and it's going to be like the California Gold Rush of the 1800s. I mean, people are going to be trampling over one another to get there.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. The other part of it is, and my good friend Butch Guzman called you a while back a couple of times, and I do have to take a little bit of issue with Butch in that I believe these athletes need to be compensated some kind of way, because they do put in a lot of work that some time from the time standpoint that takes away from.
Well, Jeff, let me jump in here because we're about to run out of time. They like it or not, and this is for every. They are going to be compensated. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.